Hello everyone, just wanted to remind you to stay safe on WhatsApp. Unfortunately, there are people who might try to deceive you into sharing sensitive information. Remember, no one from StreamGlobe will ever ask you for codes or numbers for any reason. If someone does, they're impersonators trying to scam you. Please report such numbers to WhatsApp and your group admins immediately. Also, if you get any unsolicited messages from someone in your StreamGlobe WhatsApp group, don't worry. Just report the person to WhatsApp using the report option. They won't be able to contact you again, and WhatsApp will take action to prevent this from happening to others. Let's stay safe on WhatsApp and remember to share StreamGlobe devotionals with your contacts.
Today's StreamGlobe devotional is titled Spiritual Rights to Exert Authority. Today's meditation was written by Pastor S.D. Abraham. We shall be taking our Bible reading from 1 John chapter 2, verse 3. Now, by this we know that we have come to know God if we keep His commandments. I have just read from the New English Translation Bible. Orji wondered why he would pray, fast, and still struggle to cast out a demon that Emeka wouldn't even need to strain his voice to cast out. He came to realize that the reason for this little spiritual authority was because he wasn't properly aligned to Christ's authority. He still lived his life the way he wanted. When you read a Bible verse like today's main text, you may wonder why in the New Testament so much emphasis is still made on commandments. Are we not now under grace and no more under the law? Someone might ask. Yes, we are under grace, but being under grace does not mean being lawless. It means the grace of God empowers us to obey God's laws that He has now written upon our hearts because of the new covenant, as we see in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12. What this means is that a Christian is someone who is under God's authority. He is not a free moral agent, but is under the absolute authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Any man who is not living under authority has no spiritual right to exert authority. It may look as if the devil still has authority, but in reality he has authority only over the members of his household. All authority has been given to our Lord Jesus Christ. He has the absolute authority over the heavens and over the earth. If you must exert spiritual authority, that authority must be the same authority that the Lord has. You cannot exert this authority if you are not operating under it. This is the real reason why demons do not respect some Christians. Demons do not respect people who have no authority over them. Demons do not respect people who have not actively aligned with the only spiritual authority that can cast them out. You align with this authority by giving your life to Christ and living under the authority of Christ. Go into today asking the Lord to help you properly align under His authority. If you are listening to this and you are not yet born again, but you want to give your life to Christ today, let's pray this prayer together in faith. And as you confess the Lord Jesus, you will receive His salvation. And you will begin to walk in His authority. Say these words after me in faith. Lord Jesus, I come to you today. And I surrender to you as my Lord and my Savior. Please save me and cause me to walk in your authority. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you have just prayed this prayer in faith, I want to congratulate you, because by confessing the Lord Jesus, you will receive His authority. I will encourage you to visit streamglobe.org and click on the menu there that says, Are you saved? On that website, you will find resources that will help you grow and understand the faith. Our yearly Bible reading plan for today shall be taken from 1 Samuel chapter 6 to chapter 10. Now, this Bible reading plan is continuous. So, if you begin with us today, for example, by this time next year, you would have gone through the entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation. The audio comes up next, 1 Samuel chapter 6 to chapter 10.
When the Ark of the Lord had been in Philistine territory 7 months, the Philistines called for the priests and the diviners, and said,
What shall we do with the Ark of the Lord? Tell us how we should send it back to its place.
They answered,
If you return the Ark of the God of Israel, do not send it back to him without a gift. By all means, send a guilt offering to him. Then you will be healed, and you will know why his hand has not been lifted from you.
The Philistines asked,
What guilt offering should we send to him?
They replied,
5 gold tumors and 5 gold rats, according to the number of the Philistine rulers, because the same plague has struck both you and your rulers. Make models of the tumors and of the rats that are destroying the country, and give glory to Israel's God. Perhaps he will lift his hand from you and your gods and your land. Why do you harden your hearts as the Egyptians and Pharaoh did? When Israel's God dealt harshly with them, did they not send the Israelites out so they could go on their way? Now then, get a new cart ready with 2 cows that have calved that have never been yoked. Hitch the cows to the cart, but take their calves away and pin them up. Take the Ark of the Lord and put it on the cart, and in a chest beside it put the gold objects you are sending back to him as a guilt offering. Send it on its way, but keep watching it. If it goes up to its own territory, toward Beth Shemesh, then the Lord has brought this great disaster on us. But if it does not, then we will know that it was not his hand that struck us, but that it happened to us by chance.
So they did this. They took 2 such cows and hitched them to the cart and pinned up their calves. They placed the Ark of the Lord on the cart and along with it the chest containing the gold rats and the models of the tumors. Then the cows went straight up toward Beth Shemesh, keeping on the road and lowing all the way. They did not turn to the right or to the left. The rulers of the Philistines followed them as far as the border of Beth Shemesh. Now the people of Beth Shemesh were harvesting their wheat in the valley, and when they looked up and saw the ark, they rejoiced at the sight. The cart came to the field of Joshua of Beth Shemesh, and there it stopped beside a large rock. The people chopped up the wood of the cart and sacrificed the cows as a burnt offering to the Lord. The Levites took down the Ark of the Lord, together with the chest containing the gold objects, and placed them on the large rock. On that day, the people of Beth Shemesh offered burnt offerings and made sacrifices to the Lord. The 5 rulers of the Philistines saw all this and then returned that same day to Ekron. These are the gold tumors the Philistines sent as a guilt offering to the Lord, 1 each for Ashdod, Gaza, Ashkelon, Gath, and Ekron. And the number of the gold rats was according to the number of Philistine towns belonging to the 5 rulers, the fortified towns with their country villages. The large rock on which the Levites set the Ark of the Lord is a witness to this day in the field of Joshua of Beth Shemesh. But God struck down some of the inhabitants of Beth Shemesh, putting 70 of them to death because they looked into the Ark of the Lord. The people mourned because of the heavy blow the Lord had dealt them, and the people of Beth Shemesh asked,
Who can stand in the presence of the Lord, this holy God? To whom will the ark go up from here?
Then they sent messengers to the people of Kiriath-Jearim, saying,
The Philistines have returned the ark of the Lord. Come down and take it up to your town.
So the men of Kiriath-Jearim came and took up the ark of the Lord. They brought it to Abinadab's house on the hill and consecrated Eleazar, his son, to guard the ark of the Lord. The ark remained at Kiriath-Jearim a long time. 20 years in all. Then all the people of Israel turned back to the Lord. So Samuel said to the whole house of Israel,
If you are returning to the Lord with all your hearts, then rid yourselves of the foreign gods and the Ashtoreths, and commit yourselves to the Lord and serve him only. And he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines.
So the Israelites put away their Baals and Ashtoreths, and served the Lord only. Then Samuel said,
Assemble all Israel at Mizpah, and I will intercede with the Lord for you.
When they had assembled at Mizpah, they drew water and poured it out before the Lord. On that day they fasted, and there they confessed.
We have sinned against the Lord.
Now Samuel was serving as leader of Israel at Mizpah. When the Philistines heard that Israel had assembled at Mizpah, the rulers of the Philistines came up to attack them. When the Israelites heard of it, they were afraid because of the Philistines. They said to Samuel,
"Do not stop crying out to the Lord our God for us, that he may rescue us from the hand of the Philistines."
Then Samuel took a suckling lamb and sacrificed it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. He cried out to the Lord on Israel's behalf, and the Lord answered him. While Samuel was sacrificing the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to engage Israel in battle. But that day, the Lord thundered with loud thunder against the Philistines and threw them into such a panic that they were routed before the Israelites. The men of Israel rushed out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines, slaughtering them along the way to a point below Beth Kar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen. He named it Ebenezer, saying,
"Thus far the Lord has helped us."
So the Philistines were subdued, and they stopped invading Israel's territory. Throughout Samuel's lifetime, the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines. The towns from Ekron to Gath that the Philistines had captured from Israel were restored, and Israel delivered the neighboring territory from the hands of the Philistines. And there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. Samuel continued as Israel's leader all the days of his life. From year to year, he went on a circuit from Bethel to Gilgal to Mizpah, judging Israel in all those places. But he always went back to Ramah, where his home was, and there he also held court for Israel, and he built an altar there to the Lord. When Samuel grew old, he appointed his sons as Israel's leaders. The name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second was Abijah, and they served at Beersheba. But his sons did not follow his ways. They turned aside after dishonest gain and accepted bribes and perverted justice. So all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah. They said to him,
"You are old, and your sons do not follow your ways. Now appoint a king to lead us, such as all the other nations have."
But when they said,
"Give us a king to lead us,"
this displeased Samuel. So he prayed to the Lord, and the Lord told him,
"Listen to all that the people are saying to you. It is not you they have rejected, but they have rejected me as their king, as they have done from the day I brought them up out of Egypt until this day, forsaking me and serving other gods. So they are doing to you. Now, listen to them, but warn them solemnly, and let them know what the king who will reign over them will claim as his rights."
Samuel told all the words of the Lord to the people who were asking him for a king. He said,
"This is what the king who will reign over you will claim as his rights. He will take your sons and make them serve with his chariots and horses, and they will run in front of his chariots. Some he will assign to be commanders of thousands and commanders of fifties, and others to plow his ground and reap his harvest, and still others to make weapons of war and equipment for his chariots. He will take your daughters to be perfumers and cooks and bakers. He will take the best of your fields and vineyards and olive groves and give them to his attendants. He will take a tenth of your grain and of your vintage and give it to his officials and attendants. Your male and female servants and the best of your cattle and donkeys he will take for his own use. He will take a tenth of your flocks, and you yourselves will become his slaves. When that day comes, you will cry out for relief from the king you have chosen. But the Lord will not answer you in that day.
But the people refused to listen to Samuel.
No,
they said,
we want a king over us. Then we will be like all the other nations, with a king to lead us and to go out before us and fight our battles.
When Samuel heard all that the people said, he repeated it before the Lord. The Lord answered,
listen to them and give them a king.
Then Samuel said to the Israelites,
everyone, go back to your own town.
There was a Benjamite, a man of standing, whose name was Kish, son of Abiel, the son of Zerah, the son of Bicharath, the son of Aphiah of Benjamin. Kish had a son named Saul, as handsome a young man as could be found anywhere in Israel, and he was a head taller than anyone else. Now the donkeys belonging to Saul's father Kish were lost, and Kish said to his son Saul,
take one of the servants with you and go and look for the donkeys.
So he passed through the hill country of Ephraim and through the area around Shalisha, but they did not find them. They went on into the district of Shalem, but the donkeys were not there. Then he passed through the territory of Benjamin, but they did not find them. When they reached the district of Zuph, Saul said to the servant who was with him,
come, let's go back, or my father will stop thinking about the donkeys and start worrying about us.
But the servant replied,
look, in this town there is a man of God. He is highly respected and everything he says comes true. Let's go there now. Perhaps he will tell us what way to take.
Saul said to his servant,
if we go, what can we give the man? The food in our sacks is gone. We have no gift to take to the man of God. What do we have?
The servant answered him again.
Look,
he said,
I have a quarter of a shekel of silver. I will give it to the man of God so that he will tell us what way to take.
Formerly in Israel, if people went to inquire of God, they would say, come, let us go to the seer, because the prophet of today used to be called a seer.
Good,
Saul said to his servant.
Come, let's go.
So they set out for the town where the man of God was. As they were going up the hill to the town, they met some young women coming out to draw water, and they asked them,
is the seer here?
He is,
they answered.
He's ahead of you. Hurry now. He has just come to our town today, for the people have a sacrifice at the high place. As soon as you enter the town, you will find him before he goes up to the high place to eat. The people will not begin eating until he comes, because he must bless the sacrifice. Afterward, those who are invited will eat. Go up now. You should find him about this time.
They went up to the town, and as they were entering it, there was Samuel coming toward them on his way up to the high place. Now the day before Saul came, the Lord had revealed this to Samuel.
About this time tomorrow, I will send you a man from the land of Benjamin. Anoint him ruler over my people Israel. He will deliver them from the hand of the Philistines. I have looked on my people, for their cry has reached me.
When Samuel caught sight of Saul, the Lord said to him,
this is the man I spoke to you about. He will govern my people.
Saul approached Samuel in the gateway and asked,
would you please tell me where the seer's house is?
I am the seer,
Samuel replied.
Go up ahead of me to the high place, for the day you are to eat with me. And in the morning, I will send you on your way and will tell you all that is in your heart. As for the donkeys you lost 3 days ago, do not worry about them. They have been found. And to whom is all the desire of Israel turned, if not to you and your whole family line?
Saul answered,
but am I not a Benjamite, from the smallest tribe of Israel? And is not my clan the least of all the clans of the tribe of Benjamin? Why do you say such a thing to me?
Then Samuel brought Saul and his servant into the hall and seated them at the head of those who were invited, about 30 in number. Samuel said to the cook,
bring the piece of meat I gave you, the one I told you to lay aside.
So the cook took up the thigh with what was on it and set it in front of Saul. Samuel said,
here is what has been kept for you. Eat, because it was set aside for you for this occasion, from the time I said, I have invited guests.
And Saul dined with Samuel that day. After they came down from the high place to the town, Samuel talked with Saul on the roof of his house. They rose about daybreak, and Samuel called to Saul on the roof.
Get ready, and I will send you on your way.
When Saul got ready, he and Samuel went outside together. As they were going down to the edge of the town, Samuel said to Saul,
"Tell the servant to go on ahead of us."
And the servant did so.
"But you, stay here for a while, so that I may give you a message from God."
Then Samuel took a bottle of olive oil and poured it on Saul's head and kissed him, saying,
"Has not the Lord anointed you ruler over his inheritance? When you leave me today, you will meet two men near Rachel's tomb at Zelzah on the border of Benjamin. They will say to you, 'The donkeys you set out to look for have been found, and now your father has stopped thinking about them and is worried about you. He is asking, what shall I do about my son?' Then you will go on from there until you reach the great tree of Tabor. Three men going up to God at Bethel will meet you there. One will be carrying three young goats, another three loaves of bread, and another a skin of wine. They will greet you and offer you two loaves of bread, which you will accept from them. After that, you will go to Gibeah of God, where there's a Philistine outpost. As you approach the town, you will meet a procession of prophets coming down from the high place with lyres, and they will be prophesying. The Spirit of the Lord will come on you in power, and you will prophesy with them, and you will be changed into a different person. Once these signs are fulfilled, do whatever your hand finds to do, for God is with you. Go down ahead of me to Gilgal. I will surely come down to you to sacrifice burnt offerings and fellowship offerings. But you must wait 7 days until I come to you and tell you what you are to do."
As Saul turned to leave Samuel, God changed Saul's heart, and all these signs were fulfilled that day. When he and his servant arrived at Gibeah, a procession of prophets met him. The Spirit of God came on him in power, and he joined in their prophesying. When all those who had formerly known him saw him prophesying with the prophets, they asked each other,
"What is this that has happened to the son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets?"
A man who lived there answered,
"And who is their father?"
So it became a saying, "Is Saul also among the prophets?" After Saul stopped prophesying, he went to the high place. Now Saul's uncle asked him and his servant,
"Where have you been?"
"Looking for the donkeys,"
he said.
"But when we saw they were not to be found, we went to Samuel."
Saul's uncle said,
"Tell me what Samuel said to you."
Saul replied,
"He assured us that the donkeys had been found."
But he did not tell his uncle what Samuel had said about the kingship. Samuel summoned the people of Israel to the Lord at Mizpah and said to them,
"This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I brought Israel up out of Egypt, and I delivered you from the power of Egypt and all the kingdoms that oppressed you. But you have now rejected your God, who saves you out of all your disasters and calamities. And you have said, 'No, appoint a king over us.' So now, present yourselves before the Lord by your tribes and clans."
When Samuel had all Israel come forward by tribes, the tribe of Benjamin was taken by lot. Then he brought forward the tribe of Benjamin clan by clan, and Matri's clan was taken. Finally, Saul, son of Kish, was taken, but when they looked for him, he was not to be found. So they inquired further of the Lord,
"Has the man come here yet?"
And the Lord said,
"Yes, he has hidden himself among the suppliers."
They ran and brought him out, and as he stood among the people, he was a head taller than any of the others. Samuel said to all the people,
"Do you see the man the Lord has chosen? There's no one like him among all the people."
Then the people shouted,
Long live the king!
Samuel explained to the people the rights and duties of kingship. He wrote them down on a scroll and deposited it before the Lord. Then Samuel dismissed the people to go to their own homes. Saul also went to his home in Gibeah, accompanied by valiant men whose hearts God had touched. But some scoundrels said,
"How can this fellow save us?"
They despised him and brought him no gifts, but Saul kept silent.
You have just listened to Stream Globe Devotional. Kindly share this devotional and let's touch lives together. To learn more about this ministry, get more of our free resources, or give to this work, visit our website at streamglobe.org.